Casey Hendrickson.
And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. I want to thank all three radio stations for tuning in and joining us today. If you're on Rumble, thank you for that as well. Rumble.com/Casey, the host. Hit that subscribe button. Of course, hit the thumbs up button. Would really appreciate that. So joining me in studio right now, Republican candidate for South Bend City Clerk, Tina Wilson is joining us. Tina, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Awesome.
Bring it a little bit closer to you, if you could, please. Let's start with the basics, and then we'll get into the story, okay? Because this really is about your campaign. Unfortunately, some other stuff had happened that's kind of like a part of that. But here's the thing. So I was at an event, and I don't remember exactly where I was at. And I had other Republicans around who just said, you have got to meet this woman. They love you. I mean, they absolutely love you. They adore you. So let me just ask you, who are you? Introduce yourself to the audience and why you're running for clerk.
Well, as you said, my name is Tina Wilson. I'm a mother of two boys. I have a teenage 14-year-old and a little 7-year-old. One of the things that encouraged me actually to run is because I teach my children, don't come to me with problems if you don't have a solution that you're ready to work on. And I found myself complaining about some of the changes that were happening in my neighborhood. And I'm just calling. And I'm complaining. And that conversation that I teach my kids came to mind and said, don't come with a problem if you don't have a solution. Mm. So I started getting more involved and I wanted to be more a bigger help in our community, bring someone who's genuine, someone who truly cares. This is what I do already. I'm just looking to be able to do that on a much bigger scale.
So what were some of the problems you're having in the neighborhood that you weren't getting any answers for?
Well, when I first moved to my neighborhood, my boys, they loved going up and down the street, playing on their scooters, their bikes, playing with the neighbors. There was a program that did come to my community where it did bring a large amount of the homeless individuals into our neighborhood. But this particular program, it's a low barrier program. Mm-hmm. So they don't really have a lot of rules. They don't have to go for alcohol rehab or drug rehab if they don't want to, you know, do their job rehabilitation. They don't have to. So in the meantime, we're getting a lot of people who are choosing to stay where they are at. And in the meantime, they have to break into our things. For me, unfortunately, they tried my home, tried unsuccessfully, but yeah. So a lot of us were complaining, the businesses, a lot of people don't go anymore after certain hours mm-hmm. because of what we have to experience. A lot of people, like for my children, they're no longer allowed to be able to play outside by themselves without me watching them. The kids that they used to play with, we kind of all seclude them in our own yards because we know that it's just not safe anymore.
And this is all new. So, because you said when you moved into the neighborhood, they were playing with the kids up and down the street. You know, they're doing normal kid stuff.
Right.
And now they can't.
Right. I moved there about 5 years ago.
Okay. So this is a quick change then.
Yes. Yes.
And is this because of the motels for now?
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately. So, you know, I know they help a lot of people and they do have programs, but this particular where they house them at the hotel was already known for drugs and prostitution before you decided to put them over there. Yeah. So, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. Let's stick them somewhere and hope, you know, a lot of people don't see them. And we can act like we fixed the problem, but the problem is not fixed at all. It just changed the location of where that problem existed.
Well, when your story came up and what happened to you, and again, we'll get to that probably after the commercial break. I want this to be about your campaign first. John and I, you know, we do the news and it's like, we've never heard of this happening in that area at all, ever, or associated with that program, you know, sarcastically, because we're constantly covering those things. Mm-hmm. So we know it's a problem. It doesn't appear to get a lot of attention in our conventional news media here. You know, sometimes it comes up if it's something big, but a lot of those smaller things that are more of a concern for people like you who live in the area, that doesn't get a lot of attention. It's just seen, as a minor inconvenience. But when it's happening every day, multiple times a day, and it's happening to everybody around there, nobody wants to be in the neighborhood anymore.
Exactly.
When you like your neighbors, you like the area, now that's all changed.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
It's a huge problem. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, why don't you move? Well, you know, I can, but that's my home.
Sure.
I was comfortable.
Well, they'll
there.
Just build another motel for now.
You know,
right there too.
Everyone doesn't have that luxury. Like, I shouldn't have to be forced out of my home because people aren't making the right decision. That's it. That's all. But like you said, you made an interesting point. A lot of issues happen over there. They have over 1,000 calls since 2020 as far as police calls, and we cry and we shout. And it's like, our words just go unheard. It's like they sweep it under a rug, almost like they're hiding it, you know? So for me and my situation, that I had, you know, I waited 13 minutes for police to arrive. A lot of things could have happened in 13 minutes. And that's why a lot of us in the neighborhood, you know, we're taking measures to protect ourselves because we feel like our local government is not protecting us because we're telling them of this issue and nothing's being done. Matter of fact, in my case, they want to call me a liar when I say it's being done. I have all the proof.
We'll get to it. I promise. Right, we will get to it, Dina. I promise. And the reason that I'm splitting this up just for everybody in the audience, because they're like, let her tell us, trust me, she's going to tell the story.
I will.
But the reason that I wanted to split this up is because I was already going to have her on because she's a candidate. She's running for city clerk. And that should be the primary focus. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to that, the thing that happened to you, and which highlights exactly why you said you wanted to run to begin with, but then you have the response from the other party. Mm-hmm. So I promise you, we'll get to it, folks, but I want to give her enough time to explain her platform. So, you're in a good neighborhood, your kids enjoy playing outside with the neighbors, you all get along, Motels for Now kind of comes in, low barrier program, things have changed, now you've got to protect your kids, you're worried about them.
Right.
So you're now motivated to run for office.
Absolutely.
So why city clerk?
So for one, city clerk. So with the decision that was made for them to move, I kept asking, whose decision was this? Whose decision? So I'm calling cities, the city council members, commissioner, whoever that was willing to listen, I'm calling. And looking into the city clerk, one of the things that should happen, the city clerk should be a liaison between the community, the city clerk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, not the city clerk, the city council.
Right.
So as these decisions are on the table, it should be brought to us so that we have an opportunity to say, hey, this is how it affects me. It gives us the opportunity to be proactive. That's not really happening. Of course, as we know, there's been a lot of issues with the city clerk position. I feel like multiple people, you know, are at hand when it comes to that. So again, I'm really just trying to be the solution. This is what I do. I already educate people. I love helping start up businesses. I love promoting other businesses, using my audience and my platform that I've worked hard for building my own business and using that to say, hey, look at this over here. Look at this problem. Let's talk about it. People know, like, I'm willing to have the hard conversations with any and everybody who will listen, because when we ignore it, that's how these decisions are being made. Because we're not listening, we're not paying attention. So I want to be the person that really puts that information out there, help create some sense of transparency with our local government, and we can get some things turned around.
All right. I promise, folks, it's coming. Next, we will ask Tina about what happened the other day. And I know that we talked about it when it happened, and we talked about the response and everything that happened since then. But we're going to let Tina tell it in her own words, because I want her to tell you all what happened, and then what she feels about the response from the Democratic Party. So Tina Wilson, Republican candidate for city clerk in South Bend, joining us now. We'll continue with her coming up in just a couple minutes on 95.3 MNC and the all-new MNC Nation.
You're listening to Casey Hendrickson on News Talk 95.3 and on 101.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel in the all-new MNC Nation. I'm your host, Casey Hendrickson. Tina Wilson, who is running for city clerk in the city of South Bend, is joining us. Tina, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for coming in. Okay. Why do you hate homeless people having medical episodes on the sidewalk? I don't know a better way in your backyard, under your bush.
In my backyard.
Why don't you tell people what happened with the situation, and then we'll go into the letter and the social media post after that.
Okay.
So what actually happened at your house?
So let me back up about 30 seconds. So a little history about me. When my oldest son, when he was about 3 years old, I came home to someone in my home. Someone had broken in, and the only thing that I could do was grab my baby, and I just ran. I ran back to my car as fast as I could and tried to pull off. And I remember after being in my own home, feeling like, you know, I'm just worried about every sound, every creak. And I said, never again will I be left that vulnerable. So from there, I got a gun, and I trained with guns. I also teach other women, because I want to, you know, teach other women gun safety. And if they have children in their home, how to safely store that. So I had my guns before, right? I teach women how to protect themselves in the event something happens. People tell me, what's the likeliness of something happening? Will it happen to me?
Yeah.
So this particular day, I was supposed to had already been gone. What I've been telling officials is that because they loiter around, they know our schedules. They know when we're home. They know who's the houses where it's only women and children and things like that, right? So this particular day, I backed up and someone's trying to get in my window. And at first it was a little bit of shock because I'm like, I know I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. So I rolled down my window. I'm like, hey, excuse me, sir, excuse me. And he instantly turns his back towards me. And then he starts going in my backyard. Well, you don't belong back there either. So I'm like, obviously you don't belong back there either.
Right.
So, you know, I go after him to say, hey, leave, just go. But he takes off running. So I'm steady going just to make sure you're off my property. So I'm checking everything around and make sure everything looks okay. And then I see some feet hanging from underneath my bushes. Now, these are not the feet of the person who I was after.
Okay.
This person looked completely different. So obviously I'm alarmed. Like, what is going on? And I'm going after one. Here's a second one. So he decides to run. This guy decided to hide. So instantly, what are you doing? Get out. Probably said a word that I can't say on air, but get out. He had to crawl from underneath my bushes. And that first time when he got out, he came towards me. And now I have my gun. I carry my gun everywhere. I pull out my gun. Stop. Freeze. Stop. Be still. And he's saying things. I don't know what he was saying, but it wasn't making much sense to me. And I'm like, get down, get down. I yell to my older son, call the police, call the police. Now we run drills and I'm so proud of my baby boys because they did it flawlessly. My youngest son, he locked himself in the car. And my older son, he got the phone and he was able to call the police and he actually came by me. They know to use me as cover, stay by me. Mom has it under control. So there was a couple times in that situation where he wanted to like charge at me. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for the gun in my hand, I really believe that he would. And there's no telling what would happen. We waited 13 minutes. How do I know? Because I checked the call records after the police arrived. We waited 13 minutes and some seconds. The question was, well, why did it take him so long?
Yeah.
Well, it got reported somehow as suspicious activity.
Okay.
And this is how it's a bit concerned, because even when we call, it's just like, oh, it's just another incident, you know.
It didn't get reported to the officers as an immediate threat situation.
No. And I found out the next day that it was reported as suspicious activity.
Okay.
So that's why I wasn't a rush. So for me, 13 minutes did seem like 30. In the meantime,
it's a long time.
Yeah. So that third time that he got up, I had to tell him, this will be your last time. This will be your last time coming towards me. And I kept telling him, I don't want to end your life. I don't want to end your life. When I'm training people, I tell people you can't get overly emotional when there's a gun in your hand.
Right.
You have to be able to think and think clearly and think really, really fast. So, you know, I gave him that last warning and made him sit down. And because we were on speakerphone, when the police, the lady said, oh, they're pulling up, he started to try to roll away. So he rolled from my bushes all the way across my yard to like a cement landing where my back door is. And then he just tried to act like he was taking a nap.
Is the cement landing the...
I guess that's the sidewalk that they said, okay, that I harassed the person, right?
Oh, yeah, so, boy.
I don't know. You okay. Guys should ask your officials where sidewalks in your backyard. So he tried to act like he was taking a nap. And, you know, the police instantly was like, oh, it's probably another guy from over at the hotel. I don't care where he's from. He didn't belong here. And
right.
This man almost got himself hurt. So what happened... with the report, I get actually the report that was never filed, because the guy that I witnessed is the guy that got away. I didn't witness this guy trying to break in my home. I witnessed his friend.
Okay. That was my question.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, that guy's gone. They said, well, did you see him? Well, I see him hiding under bushes. We know they were together,
right,
and, you know, whatever, but I did not witness this particular person trying to break in my home.
Okay.
So that's where the trespass warning comes from, which, you know, I was given the following day. I wasn't even given on that same day. But they did take his ID. They did confirm where he lived, which he did, in fact, live at the hotel. And they called medic to say, well, he's probably just high or drunk, which I personally don't believe. I feel like I witnessed a difference in character. It's almost like they knew that this is how we get off. This is how we just get a slap on the hand.
So he's gaming the system.
And yes.
Okay.
So, you know, they asked about trespass warning signs. We've have those. They tear them down because they know if there is a sign and they get caught, then they go to jail. So let's take the sign and then we can go where we want to go. And personally, you know, I got tired of replacing them. And I did have target practice on the side of my sheds for me and my kids. We practiced with the airsoft guns. I thought that would be warning enough.
Deterrent enough, right?
Yeah. But the rain kind of wiped those away.
I have a really good tutorial video for you on how to like hook up a car battery to one of those signs. So when they go to, they'll get zapped. I'll send it to you. It's up to you if you want to use it. I'll send it to you. I can't guarantee that the city government won't get mad. But right. I have it.
It's just
for informational purposes only.
If you need a science project, I got you.
Okay, so right after that, this story comes out, gets airtime on this show. It gets airtime in Real News Michiana, like nowhere else, right? Just kind of like evaporates. Eventually, it starts to kind of trickle in some like traditional media, just a little bit. But then this letter comes out from the St. Joseph County Democratic Party. Again, we're talking with Tina Wilson, Republican, running for city clerk in South Bend. And you have the chair of the Democratic Party. She straight up says, you're lying.
Yeah.
You made it up.
She said, a liar.
You harassed with a gun a homeless man having a medical episode on the sidewalk.
That was sleeping on the sidewalk.
Not even on your property.
Yeah. And, you know, it's... I have the pictures. That's the crazy thing.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Your bushes are all messed up.
Because it's always someone's different. Mind you, I've had people camping out in my backyard at night. They done broke in my shed so many times that I just don't even lock it anymore. Just whatever, you know? So I took the pictures because every time it's someone different and the police tell me if he comes back, then we can do something. So I took the pictures thinking that it was just proof for myself to have. So if this person, you know, comes back, and I didn't know that I was going to have to use those pictures to defend myself. It was rather insulting, honestly, because as a mother, only thing I was trying to do was protect my children and protect my home. So to hear her call me a blatant liar and that I was harassing the man when I'm also a person that tries to feed them, tries to clothe them. I sit things out for free, hoping that would make them like me and not take the things that I want to keep. You know, like you got the wrong person. Anyone who knows me know I love people. I love sharing love. So that already had me going. But knowing what my children were dealing with.
Sure.
We had to set up an appointment with his counselor, my youngest son's counselor, just because he couldn't even stay at school for a full day.
Yeah, that's traumatic. Scared. Yeah, I mean, you got a youngster. That's traumatic. Right. It's traumatic for a lot of adults, but especially a youngster.
Yeah, for him.
You said he's seven?
He's seven. He did not get to see the bad man get in a cop car and go to where he thought would be jail.
Right.
He got to watch that same person
walk away,
walk across the street. So now every time that there's just, it could be any random person walking across the street, my son freezes up. So to know that I was dealing with that, and dealing with him having episodes and asking me, Mom, is the bad man going to come again? Is he going to come again? And I'm having to reassure and then to be called a liar when I'm dealing with this in real time. Not once did you try to call to get the story. Not once did you call to try to get an understanding. Not once did you say, hey, are you okay? So somehow me and my children were the victim. We become the bad guys here. So my question is, why do you guys keep protecting this program? Over and over again, even when the media, you know, took my report, they didn't air it right away. It's almost like they spent more time trying to get whatever information, trying to protect this program than protect the person whose home was attempted to be burglarized.
I've been doing this for 18 years and some political background before that. I've never seen a more poorly worded email go out from an official party before. You never do that. You never accuse I shouldn't say never, because we see it a lot on national issues, but generally speaking, if there's an issue with your political opponent being potentially victimized, you never go on the attack. It's always, we hope they're okay. You know, that we still believe in the program. We're sorry that this happened, but it's a fluke. Even if they're lying about it, they say it's a fluke, you know, that sort of thing. For them to go out and just straight up accuse you of lying and then to use the reason that he wasn't taken into custody, which you've explained already, as evidence of you lying without providing any actual evidence. It was one of the most bizarre and frankly, it was one of the most amateur political messages I've ever seen sent out via party.
Yeah.
I've seen candidates do some really dumb stuff over the years. But for a chair of a party, I've never seen a more amateur move, I think, in my entire career. It was one of the most heinously weird things that I think I've ever seen.
That's how I felt. She didn't even take the time to get my name right. She called me Trina.
I noticed that.
I have four letters in my name.
I did. I noticed that. And your response, I felt, was as reserved as it could have been, because I would have been furious if something, and I know that you probably were, but you handled it well. I think that your response was pretty good. You know, so I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, this is, you know, you're dealing with a party that is willing to demonize and lie about you in order to win an election for, honest, you know, I hate to say this, but just a city clerk. Like, it's not like the president of the United States.
Right.
And you're up against that. I mean, you're up against a machine.
I'm okay with that. I'm very okay with that. When I have something to say, someone's going to hear me. I think that's the problem. I'm not afraid to shake the table. I'm not afraid to have the conversations that people are too afraid to have. And I will keep talking about this program and keep talking and talking until I feel people are actually listening. So we know that the media is trying to cover it. We know the local government is trying to, you know, kind of let it pass by. But until me and my neighbors feel safe, I'm going to keep talking about it. And they'll just have to, they'll be okay. But I feel that they don't know what to do with me. They really don't. Like, where did this girl come from?
And, you know, again, I know that we read the letter and we read your response on the air, but it was just, it was such an aggressive accusation. I feel like they feel like they're threatened.
I would believe so.
You know, and I don't say that lightly, because sometimes people do that flippantly in mm-hmm. politics. You don't come out that aggressive on something like this unless you actually feel threatened by somebody.
Yeah. For a city clerk. And the crazy thing is, when I decided to do this, I don't like the dirty part of politics, right? That's just not my game. I'm the love bug, you know? Hey,
I'm the mud guy. You know, that's me.
I like to focus on what I know that I can do and let that be my topic. But in this situation, you guys are, you're showing your hand. You're showing your own card. Why is it that a mother does not have the right to protect her home, to protect her children? Why is she the one that's the criminal and not the victim? So the only thing that she did was made people ask the party a question. And why was she wrong for that? Is this how you all feel? So she probably did more harm than good. Yeah, I have people saying mean things to me and sending me messages, but you know, hey, it is what it is.
You have the evidence though. Tina Wilson, Republican candidate running for city clerk in South Bend. How can people support your campaign?
Yes. So you can visit me on Facebook at Tina Wilson for South Bend City Clerk. I do have my post, my donation link posted on my page, or you can email me at votetinawilson@gmail.com for alternative ways if you do not have PayPal.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Tina. Best of luck in the campaign.
Thank you.
We got more coming up. MNC News Time is 5:34. Time to check out Impress Jewelry Creations, creating meaningful jewelry for the moments that last a lifetime.
This is Michiana's breaking news and weather station. MNC.